In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority, amen. The whole story of God's world and his creation and his people really is all about a promise and the hope of fulfillment of that promise. If we go back to the very beginning of Adam and Eve and their rebellion against the voice of the Lord, and they drove humanity against the Lord into a way of violence and suffering and death, the Lord had first spoken a promise back then saying, I will reverse this. I will set things right. But as their offspring continued, especially through the line of Cain, to create violence and death and pain in the world, another man arose by the name of Noah, and the Lord gave a promise to him. After the flood wipes clean the earth, there will be new life, a new start. This will be undone. It will be fixed. But after Noah's children messed it all up again, we come to a man, Abraham. And the Lord gives him essentially the same promise. Abraham, come, follow me. Through you, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to bring new life in the midst of the death, pain, the suffering. Abraham's children then got themselves in slavery in Egypt. And the Lord came to Moses and essentially gave him the same promise. Look, I'm going to rescue your family from slavery. It's been a long 400 years, but I'm going to fix this. There's going to be new life in the midst of this pain. But then even after the children of Israel came out of slavery, they went down the same path again, and the Lord came to a man named David and gave him a similar promise. Through your family, I'm going to set you on the throne, and there's going to be an everlasting kingdom to set all this madness right. But then David's family royally screwed it up. And we come to Jesus' disciples about 2,000 years after Abraham, and Jesus had been a hope for them. Maybe finally, after 2,000 years, this pain, the suffering, the death in our world, maybe God's promise will finally set things right. But then this Jesus had been crucified on a cross, his body thrown in a tomb. Hope was gone and dead again. Another failed promise. New life. Not in our world. This is the situation, the psyche, likely, of the disciples as they gathered after the crucifixion of Jesus. Mary Magdalene, had gone to the tomb and she had seen the Lord, and in that moment she trusted and she thought, this is it. Finally, the promise that we've been waiting to truly be fulfilled for thousands of years is coming true. Mary knew it in the core of her being. And so she runs to the rest of the disciples we heard in the last couple weeks, and she tells them, I have seen the Lord. The world is changing. Finally, new life in the midst of death. Now, these disciples, after generations of disappointment, weren't ready to believe that quite yet. Mary, you don't know what you're talking about. We need to see the Lord for ourselves. We need to see and touch this new world before we're going to believe it. We've been fooled before. And then Jesus had appeared to those disciples in an upper room and shown himself to them and said, look at my hands, my side. It's here. The new world is truly beginning. The promise you've been waiting for has happened right now. And they trusted because they saw and they touched. Now we have the story of poor Thomas, who wasn't there with the rest of the group. He didn't doubt any more than the rest of them. He just happened to not be there when they got to see and touch. And the disciples tell Thomas, look, we have seen the Lord. But for Thomas, just as for the rest of them, that's just another empty word, another empty promise. We've been fooled for generations, hundreds and thousands of years, guys. Really? I need to see and touch the new world myself before I believe that again. I've been fooled once. I'm not going to be fooled again. And then the Lord appeared in their midst again. And he singled out Thomas and said, Thomas, look, touch the hands that were crucified, the side that was speared. Yes, I looked like an utter failure, but new life has come. The new world is right in front of you. See the new world, touch it. And Thomas trusted because he could put his hands on the new world. He could see the new world with his own eyes. The problem of the disciples and of all of those who were followers of the Lord for these thousands of years is our same problem today. We now have the witness of Thomas and the disciples and Mary who tell us, I have seen the Lord in the flesh. I've touched the new world. I've seen the new world in our midst. It's true. I don't know, Mary. I don't know, disciples. Thomas, I'm not sure. When I look around and I walk and live in our world, I don't see new life. I don't touch new life in our world. What I still see, Thomas, Mary, disciples, Abraham, everyone who's come before, I still see death. Our loved ones still pass away. There's suffering, there's violence and pain under every rock that we overturn. A new world? You want me to live as a servant of love? Sacrificing myself for a new world that I'm not really sure exists. I haven't seen it. I haven't touched it. It's a lot to ask. A lot of people have been fooled. The Gospel of John recognizes this problem, this desire within us to want to see and touch a new world before we're going to try to live in it. And so after Thomas's experience, we are told by Jesus himself, he says, look, blessed are those who have not seen and touched a new world and yet have trusted, who have faithfully lived in a new world, even though everything they experienced around them still looked like the old world. The pain, the suffering, the death, the violence still look the same. But even though they did not see a new world, even though they could not touch a new world, Jesus said, blessed are those who trust that a new world has come. New life is in our midst. Blessed are those. Trust. As we explore what Jesus is inviting us into, we can see it's so much more than some intellectual assent that he's raised from the dead. The trust that he's asking us is to so fully believe and trust in a new world that in the same way that he stripped himself down to wash his disciples' feet, that we would strip ourselves down of all the power, the wealth, the things that our world lauds. We would strip ourselves down and be a servant of love, sacrificing ourselves for others, even though we know that people are going to take advantage of us when we do it. That they're not on board with this new world yet, and so things might go poorly for us if we do this. Jesus himself said, look, if they tried to hunt me down, you think it's going to be any different for you? Trust. Do we have the trust, the faith, and our Father's work in our world, even when we can't see it, when we can't touch it? Are we certain, confident, that He is making things new? And so even as the death, the pain, the suffering, the violence swirls around us, we can confidently proceed and say, you know what? New life is here. I can't see it. I can't touch it, but I believe it. I trust that our God is more powerful than death, that I can love like Jesus did, that I can be a servant like He was, that I can endure the pain, the suffering that He did, because I know His tomb is empty, because I believe the witness of Mary, of the disciples, of Thomas. I haven't seen it for myself, but I trust their word. New life has come. The world has forever changed. Blessed are we when we trust that word and we live in a new world right now. Let us go forth and be the new world. Before we see it and touch it, let us be the new life. Let us be the difference. Let us trust that our Father will fulfill His promise. New life will come from the death. Amen.